It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. There's our school bell. And our regular listeners will know that since this is a Monday, we'll be looking at the Rock Cliff Review, sort of a special feature that we inject in this to begin each week. This is the bulletin that we pass out at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And the article in this bulletin, which was of the sermon that was preached that morning, is titled, I See Men Like Trees Walking. Well, that's kind of a funny thing to say. Of course, trees don't walk, and he wasn't saying he saw men walking like trees, but he saw men upright, and these men were walking. And the reason he said this, because he had been blind, and now he was beginning to see, and the first thing he saw, that's what he uttered. Let me read to you the text from which that comes. It's found only in the book of Mark, and it's found in Mark chapter 8. Verses 22 through 26. It says, And they come unto Bethsaida, and they bring to him a blind man, and beseeching to touch him. And he took hold of the blind man by the hand, and brought him out of the village. And when he had spit on his eyes, and laid his hands upon him, he asked him, Seest thou aught? And he looked up and said, I see men. For I behold them as trees walking. Then again he laid his hands upon his eyes, and he looked steadfastly, and was restored, and saw all things clearly. And he sent him away to his home, saying, Do not enter into the village. Let's read this account. In Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26, Jesus restored sight to the blind man of Bethsaida. The word Bethsaida means house of hunting or house of fishing. It was one of the little fishing villages around the Sea of Galilee. It is thought that this was a fishing village on the north shore, a little east of Capernaum. This is the only healing miracle of Jesus that occurred in stages. After the first stage, the man could partly see. When Jesus asked him what he saw, the man said, Well, I see men as trees walking, Mark 8:24. We smile at this. His reaction adds a delightful human element to the story. It captures the surprise of a man that had not been able to see at all for a long time. Perhaps he had felt of trees and thought of how they would appear standing upright. The men he could see with his faulty vision were upright like trees, but unlike trees, the men were walking. Jesus touched the man's eyes again, and he saw every man clearly, Mark 8:25. It all sounds real, because it is real. The story of Jesus cannot be separated from the stories of his miracles. These miracle accounts are given without apology. They're in all four accounts of his life. They are not idle tales. Their nature and the details accompanying them defy attempted natural explanations of critics. Without the miracles, the fame of Jesus cannot be explained. He was not just a great teacher. He was the promised Son of God. The miracles prove it. Had not the prophet said, Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, Isaiah 35:5. Those who deny the miracles of Jesus deny the deity of Jesus. But for those who believe he was God in the flesh, none of the miracles are incredible. Many of the miracle stories are celebrated by the testimony of multiple witnesses, but this is one of the two healing miracles that are unique to the account of Mark. One is that of the opening the ears of the deaf man of Decapolis in Mark 7:31-37. The other is this opening of the eyes of the blind man of Bethsaida. There are striking parallels between these miracles. One way to remember this is to remember the D word, the deaf man of Decapolis, and the B words, the blind man of Bethsaida. Now, here are some of the parallels. One is the first account in Mark of Jesus restoring hearing to the deaf. The other is the first account in Mark of Jesus restoring sight to the blind. Two, both the deaf man and the blind man were brought to Jesus by others. Three, both those who brought the deaf man to Jesus and those who brought the blind man to Jesus requested that Jesus touch them that they may be healed. Four, in both instances, Jesus took the men aside to heal them in a private setting. Five, in both acts of healing, Jesus used touch and spittle as he healed them. Six, in both instances, once the healing process was completed, the healing itself was complete, and the function of that which was healed was fully restored. Seven, in both instances, Jesus charged those who had been healed to refrain from telling others what had been done. And eight, Jesus opened the ears of the deaf man after his return to the regions about Galilee from the borders of Tyre and Sidon. After opening the eyes of the blind, he departed from these regions to Caesarea Philippi. There's something else here of note. Between these two miracles, we read of Jesus feeding the 4,000 and the subsequent warning of Jesus to his disciples. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod, Mark 8:15. When the disciples thought it was because they had brought no bread, Jesus said to them, "Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not? How is it you do not understand?" Mark 8, verses 18 through 21. The two miracles that frame this rebuke illustrate the truth that Jesus came to open spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, that man might have spiritual understanding. May our ears be always open to the Lord's teachings. May the eyes of our understanding be enlightened by His words. And may we forever feast upon the soul-nourishing spiritual bread that Jesus has provided. Well, that was the gist of the sermon that morning at Rockcliff. And we read from the Rockcliff Review, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in the subject we've been studying for our normal class, we've been talking about Paul and Silas as they came to the city of Philippi. It was later that Paul wrote a letter to that church at Philippi. It was several years later he wrote that letter from Rome. And we call that the book of Philippians, or the epistle of Paul to the Philippians, and that's to the Philippian Christians. And you should probably want to read that letter. It's only four chapters. It's like a long thank you note. But for the lesson text in the Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of September 6, 1925, we're going to focus on Philippians 3, verses 7 through 16, and then look at Philippians 4 and verse 8. Let me read that text to you. Philippians 3 and verse 7, beginning. "Howbeit what things were gained to me, these have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but refuge, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having the righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming conformed unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained, or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on toward the goal to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. Only whereunto we have attained, by that same rule, let us walk. And then Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The golden text is Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. And the devotional reading is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If there is therefore any exhortation in Christ, any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy, that ye may be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself, not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, counted not being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient, even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The church at Philippi originated with the conversion of Lydia and her household, the jailer and his household, and others when Paul and his company first visited that city in Acts chapter 16, and the church soon became well organized and working church. From Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, we read that the church had bishops and deacons. When Paul left there, Luke, it seemed, and probably Timothy, were left behind to instruct and build up this new church and to preach the gospel still to others. Luke remained 6 or 7 years. Paul visited this church at least twice after its establishment. This is one of the best examples of what a church ought to be in the New Testament. While Paul in his letters preferred many serious charges against the Corinthians and some others, he mentions but few irregularities among the Samaritans. He exhorts them to unity and to do all things without murmurings and questionings, that they may become blameless and harmless. And he exhorts Euoda and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. As we return in our next class session, we'll take up a further study of this epistle Paul wrote to the Philippians.